What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Songs that preceded unfortunate events. R.I.P. Apollo Creed. You want to talk about just a complete 180 in a movie? 1 minute you're vibing to James Brown, and then you're dead. That was Apollo Creed in Rocky IV, the best of the Rocky franchise.
Over the original Rocky? Yeah.
That might be a hot take from yours truly, but it's... You've got the whole him avenging Apollo's death, fighting over there on Christmas Day, the height of like the conflict with the Soviet Union. The training montage is also... That training montage in Rocky IV when he's like outrunning the Soviet people that are responsible of watching him and climbing up that snowy mountain... Yeah, and it's also, I think it's the best soundtrack of the Rocky franchise, too, and that includes Eye of the Tiger and Rocky III.
Apollo Creed's death, I think, certainly took it to another level because, you know, I remember the first time watching it, didn't know it was coming, didn't see it coming, and it was just devastating. And then, like you said, it kind of maps out the rest of the movie, trying to fight for that. The original, first of all, I'm not the biggest Rocky fan, TBH, but, you know, the original, I think, still stands the test of time. And it's still the best. I would say 4 is second best. And it's close.
Thoughts on Philadelphia having a Rocky statue and just the idea of a statue of a fake guy?
I respect it. I'll be completely honest. I respect it. And I'm even trying to think of other fictional people that deserve statues. I don't think it's something that should be overdone. But I think Philly has become so synonymous with Rocky and vice versa that, you know, I'll allow it.
I think it's kind of weird. I mean, he's an athlete that never existed. If we could just come to terms with it being like an iconic thing from a movie and that's why it's there, okay, that's fine. But it definitely seems like the people of Philadelphia claim Rocky Balboa as like a favorite son and he's just a fake guy. He's just Sylvester Stallone. And I think that's the meaning behind the Rocky statue.
It is strange. It is strange. Again, I think it's cool in a sense, but yeah, it's weird. I think Philly, 4th of July topic, I think Philadelphia should be the capital of the United States. I don't know why it's Washington, D.C. I remember reading the story once that like they wanted a...
They didn't want to give a city or a state too much power, right? Isn't that the whole point of it?
I think that had something to do with it, and I don't know if it was like they wanted a place that was equidistant from New York and Philly and Virginia or, you know, whatever. Yeah, Washington, D.C. shouldn't be the capital of the United States, for God's sake. Philly's where all the important stuff happened before the Declaration of Independence was signed.
So the Washington, D.C. became the capital of the United States as a result of a compromise between the northern and southern states, which, yeah, nothing really bad happened there 70 years later. During the drafting of the Constitution, this compromise, known as the Residence Act of 1790, addressed concerns about the location of the nation's capital and the assumption of the state's debts during the Revolutionary War. And then Great Britain lit the White House on fire in the War of 1812. Where do you come down on U.S. history as a subject in school?
I love U.S. history.
I do too.
I love U.S. history.
I think if I didn't want to follow in my grandpap's footsteps and try to do this for a living, I would have been like a basketball coach / history teacher.
Wow, really?
And I don't know. Like, we're breaking in a new guy at TOV, and I'm like teaching him like this week. And I don't know. I feel like I've got a. He might just be a smart guy and pick up on things, but I'm giving myself a little bit more credit. Like, me training him, I think might have to do with why he's doing so well right now, and I can actually have today off. But yeah, I think I could have been a pretty decent educator of young minds. I do.
I think you would be an excellent teacher, and I'm not just saying that.
Well, thank you.
And yeah, I watched a American Revolution documentary on the History Channel for like an hour yesterday. I find that stuff fascinating. In a classroom sense, it's kind of because it feels like a chore and you have homework and memorization. But in terms of just reading and watching history stuff, American history, I find it riveting.
You ever see the John Adams series on HBO? Giamatti is...
I don't think so.
That's a good one to kick up this time of year. I've just been busy with work and stuff. I haven't had a chance to watch it leading up to the 4th of July, but it's... John Adams is played by Paul Giamatti. It aired on HBO, I don't know, like 10, 15 years ago. Phenomenal.
I love Paul Giamatti.
Obviously about John Adams and his role as a founding father.
And, I am intrigued.
And he kicks ass. I mean, Giamatti's fantastic, but really good. If you have whatever it's called now, HBO Max or Max or whatever, I would kick the tires on that.
I am intrigued.
Another one I started, Apple TV, if you have it, Your Friends and Neighbors with John Hamm.
I've watched bits and pieces of that, but I've heard it's excellent.
Yeah, it's pretty good. I just finished that, and my next one is the Owen Wilson golf one called Stick.
That's another one that I've heard is very good.
Yeah, that's going to be my next watch. I have a horrible habit of rewatching The Sopranos or rewatching Breaking Bad or whatever and not starting a new series.
I finished Sopranos in March, finished Breaking Bad in April, and I'm almost done with Better Call Saul. I just know for a fact I'm going to rewatch those shows before I get into almost any other series because they're that good.
Texter says 3 is the best. I pity the fool. Killed Mick. That's a good point, too. You had an avenging Mick's death in Rocky 3, so that's up there, too.
Yeah, I didn't like Rocky 3, to be completely honest.
The beginning's cool. The Eye of the Tiger montage kicks ass.
Yeah, but that's... I mean, Eye of the Tiger is always going to kick ass.
And then how about this one? Please reevaluate your life's work. Your show is terrible. Softball, softball, softballs for subject matter. What a joke. Happy 4th of July to that guy as well.
I love when people think they can do this job.
Well, if you think you can, next up on The Fan, stay tuned for locations, dates, and times on the next one for that. That text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates Personal Injury Law Firm, where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. Bechtold's Breakdown is next. He's not here, so Dom will sub in on that. Excited to dive into some of Dom's topics on the Bechtold Breakdown. But as we shift gears here, and Bob Walk will join the program at 1 o'clock, talk Buccos, I want to get back into the Steelers at 412-928-9370 and the Jalen Ramsey and Jonnu Smith trade for Minkah Fitzpatrick. And if you listen to me earlier, I had mentioned that I think when it comes to breaking down whether I like the trade or not, yes or no, it's like 65 yes, 35% no. That 35%, it might seem high to some of you out there, but I think it's that high for me because I question whether or not Deshaun Elliott will be as productive in the defense without Minkah Fitzpatrick. And I do that because of the role Minkah played in the defense last year. And I was critical of it as the Nathan's Hot Dog Eating Contest gets set to start here. Is this the women's contest? It's the women's contest. So we'll have to wait a little bit on Joey Jaws. Anywho, I was critical of the role that Minkah Fitzpatrick played, and I think a lot of fans were as well because of You know, why is a talented all-pro safety, ball hawk type of player just roaming around in center field? And for how much of a threat Minka was, that still added a little bit of something to the threat of whatever threat that the Steelers defense posed. When you have a guy as dynamic as Minka playing that role last year, it's intimidating. Now, is it the best use of Minka's talents? No, that was the main gripe that everybody had a year ago about the role that Minka Fitzpatrick played in the defense. But it allowed DeShone Elliott to be sort of a wild card in that secondary. Go back to that Chiefs game on Christmas Day. DeShone Elliott was a blanket around Travis Kelce. And that is one of the biggest problems that teams have with elite tight ends is how do you cover guys like Travis Kelce? And DeShone Elliott was able to do so in that Christmas game pretty darn well. And you flash back to 2023 and you think of that three-game stretch of Arizona, New England, and Indianapolis and losing all of those games. Trey McBride had 8 receptions for 89 yards against the Steelers in that game. And remember, it was a catastrophe with the lightning delay and all that stuff. But still, Steelers couldn't cover the tight end there. And then they follow it up with that Thursday night game against the Patriots. And Hunter Henry had 2 touchdowns. So DeShone Elliott added a little bit of something there. DeShone Elliott in the open field was one of the better safeties at being able to make plays in the open field. And as far as quote-unquote bargain bin free agents, DeShone Elliott was one of the best ones. Elliott's new contract is 2 years at $12.5 million, but his base salary for this season is only $1.17 million. Like, that was a bargain bin signing a year ago in the grand scheme of things, and it was a pretty darn good one. And I think a lot of that, and this is me not discrediting Elliott's talents, I think he was a very underutilized player for a majority of his career, but I think a lot of the reason why DeShone Elliott was the player that he was last year was because of how good Minka Fitzpatrick is and a threat that Minka Fitzpatrick was in that secondary in the role that he played. Now what do? You throw Juan Thornhill back there, and that's no slight on Juan Thornhill, but Juan Thornhill is not as good of a player as Minka Fitzpatrick. So that's a question mark, and does that impact the way that teams assess the Steelers secondary? Absolutely. Does it impact the way that DeShone Elliott performs on the Steelers defense as well? I think those things might go hand in hand. That's a question mark. The other one, somewhat answered by Ray Fittipaldo at the top of the hour. Well, the top of the last hour, we're already at noon, and the show flies. Go back and listen to it at 11 o'clock on the Odyssey app. But Ray said the Steelers believe that Jalen Ramsey can move all around that secondary, play the slot corner, play a little bit of safety. If Jalen Ramsey, for all intensive purposes, can fill that Minka Fitzpatrick void and fill that role that Minka played, that still might allow DeShone Elliott to do his thing. But for my money, man, and this might be the minority take here, but I want Jalen Ramsey game in and game out on whoever the Steelers is playing wide receiver one. My first thought when the Steelers made that move was you go get one of the best cover corners of all time. Well, not all time. One of the best cover corners of the 2010s. And you're in a division with Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins. That's how you fight that. Jerry Jeudy in Cleveland, same thing. Not as much as Ja'Marr Chase, but still. D-Hop, if he's able to turn back the fountain of youth in Baltimore. Zay Flowers, maybe. But more so with Ja'Marr Chase, arguably the best receiver in football. You've got to play that guy twice a year. How do you try and beat that? you go get Jalen Ramsey. And you might say, well, Jack, Jalen Ramsey's now 30-plus, coming off not so great of a year in Miami. Why do you think Miami wanted Minka Fitzpatrick so bad? Because their secondary stunk, and Jalen Ramsey, for all intents and purposes, was kind of by himself. So if you put Jalen Ramsey in that secondary now, with Joey Porter Jr., with Deshaun Elliott, with Darius Slay, I'm not saying he's going to be a top five corner, top three corner in the league like he was in his prime, but you're looking at probably the best, potentially the best CB1 the Steelers have had since they were able to find a second act with Joe Hayden for a couple of years in Pittsburgh. 412-928-9370. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia in Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. On the flip side of that trade, Jonnu Smith, coming off of one of the best seasons, statistically, a tight end had in the NFL a year ago. And what he was able to do, and I'm not some football film expert. Guys like, you know, Derek Bell at Steelers now kind of take the cake there. Derek does a phenomenal job of breaking down film and posting his thoughts of it on social media. But if you just watch the way Jonnu Smith played in Miami, where he was able to line up, what they were able to do with him, tight end screens, putting him in motion, lining him up in the slot, traditionally a tight end, he was able to do a whole lot. And with what Aaron Rodgers' skill set is capable of at 42 years old and in 2025, I think he can still move around like Arthur Smith wants him to move around. Play action, boot plays, roll the pocket in a couple of directions, get Aaron Rodgers in space to assess the field a little bit more. That goes hand in hand with what Jonnu Smith is able to accomplish. And like what Ray Fittipaldo said in our segment with him at 11 o'clock, I asked, does that hinder Pat Freiermuth's production? Ray says no, and for all intents and purposes, it might help Pat Freiermuth and free him up a little bit more. The options become a little bit more vast with Jonnu Smith in this offense now. Yeah, the Steelers will probably live in 12 personnel, and that's a two tight end set for those not familiar with that term. They're probably going to do that 70%, maybe three-fourths of the time on offense. It's going to be relatively consistently. But they could line them both up, Freiermuth and Smith in a double slot situation, have DK Metcalf and Calvin Austin out wide. You could throw Smith out wide and line Austin and his size underneath and that speed. It adds more variables to the Steelers' offense, more variables than we are used to with the Steelers' offense in the last couple of seasons. But the million-dollar question, and it's the million-dollar question with every team and how good they are offensively, is the coordinator good enough and is the quarterback good enough? And that'll be obviously remain to be seen with Aaron Rodgers. 412-928-9370. Any thoughts on that? You know the number. Feel free to dial it up. Also, what's going on with the 4th of July cookout plate today? Let us know what's on it. 412-928-9370. I am under the opinion that the most elite Memorial Day 4th of July cookout side dish is your traditional pasta salad. 412-928-9370. Dom, before the show, you had said potato salad. Is that your number one?
Yeah, I'm going potato salad. Listen, this is like Michael Jordan versus LeBron. You know, people are going to be split on both sides. It's very close. They're the obvious one and two. But I think a good potato salad trumps a good pasta salad. Now, there's also different forms of potato salad. You said there's different forms of the pasta salad. There's different forms of the potato salad. I like the mayonnaise-based potato salad. But a good potato salad, I think, just barely beats out a good pasta salad.
Where do you come down on a loaded potato salad? Like you get a loaded baked potato, you throw the cheese, the sour cream, bacon bits, maybe some chives in there.
All of that sounds good, except the bacon. I don't want any bacon near my potato salad. That is sacrilegious. I want to enjoy the potato, maybe the cheese, yeah, maybe a little sour cream. No bacon. Not at all. So like this isn't breakfast.
If What do you mean it's not breakfast?
It isn't breakfast. I don't want a breakfast item in my potato salad.
You don't eat bacon on anything but your breakfast?
I don't eat bacon that often, to be honest. If I do, I'm eating it at breakfast.
So, like, you're not getting a bacon cheeseburger?
No.
Man.
I don't want a BLT. I don't want bacon bits on any... No, I don't know. Bacon's overused. Don't put it in the potato salad.
Dude, okay, we're going to break. Man, Dom, we were rolling, and then you fire in a take like that. We might have to reevaluate that next to 412-928-9370. Wow, hating on bacon was not on my bingo card for today, but here we are. Your Bechtold breakdown is next. Hopefully we don't go there again with bacon, but if we do, I'm prepared to go 12 rounds with you. That's next, and it's the Pomp and Joe Show with yours truly, Jack Hillgrove, on Sports Radio 93.7 The Fan. All right, to nobody's surprise, Dom's just getting murdered on the text line about his hate of bacon, calling it overused. Dom is anti-bacon?
I'm not anti-bacon. I'm anti-bacon and potato salad.
Do you put bacon on pizza?
Oh, my God, no.
Oh, dude.
You do? There's no way you do.
Yeah.
I've bacon, never heard of bacon on pizza.
Bacon pepperoni is one of the more elite pizza combo toppings of all time.
Bacon pepper? Pepperoni?
Yeah, I mean, by itself, it is iconic. But bacon and pepperoni, the bacon adds a little bit of crunch, a little bit of salty, that unique bacon flavor. If you've got a pizza that like specializes with like a sweeter marinara, even better.
Bacon's just too overpowering. Like it takes over the potato salad because it's so salty and greasy. It's not needed.
Bill in the North Side calls bacon the most perfect food. Sean from Franklin getting on your rear end. Everything is better with bacon. Being picky about bacon is un-American.
Oh, it's not un-American.
It's pretty close.
It's pro-American.
How?
Because I want things to be, you know, proper. I want bacon to be in a very wholesome form. Or potato salad, not bacon. I want potato salad to be wholesome. You add bacon to it, it takes away the wholesomeness.
Yeah, okay, sure. Like, bacon doesn't belong on everything. We can agree there. But, like, you're the olive branch, the branch off into bacon being overused is just an incorrect statement.
When you start putting it on pizza, it becomes overused, 100%.
But it works.
Does it?
Yes.
Is it necessary?
No, but I prefer it.
Like, it's not needed in potato salad. That's the issue, is that people try to, use my phrasing here, people try to put bacon where it doesn't belong. And trying to force feed it into potato salad is just, it's unnecessary. It's too much.
I think bacon could almost belong on everything, and I'm okay with it.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit DollarShaveClub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Can't get enough baseball? Start streaming MLB Network today. Get up to 15 out-of-market games a week live on any device, plus 24/7 access to MLB Network's award-winning shows, including live game look-ins and exclusive player interviews. And hear live radio play-by-play from all 30 clubs with MLB at Bat. Enjoy the home of baseball from virtually anywhere. Plans start as low as $5.99 per month. Sign up now at MLBNetwork.com/stream. Available in the U.S. only. Blackout restriction applies. Visit MLB.com/subscribe for full terms and conditions.
Told's Breakdown, brought to you by Southside Plumbing and Heating, will feature the Bacon Hater, Dom DiTommaso. What have you got for me?
This is very exciting, hosting the Bechtold Breakdown. So I have, Austin usually does four things, so I have four different topics here for you, Mr. Hillgrove.
Okay.
We'll start with number one. There was a big kerfuffle yesterday over something that I thought was very innocent. And then, funny enough, City Limits co-signed what I said, and then everybody just attacked us. So I'll tell you what we said, and then you can give me your thoughts. So I sent out a tweet yesterday from the golf course giving a list of my top five Pittsburgh football games this fall. So I had Steelers-Jets on there week one, Steelers-Packers, Pitt-Notre Dame. At number two, I put Oregon versus Penn State. And then Austin talked about it on the Pomp and Joe show and said, oh, yeah, of course that's number two. It's a big, big game, playoff implications, whatever. And then people just murdered us and said, Penn State football games are not Pittsburgh sporting events. I think Penn State football games are sporting events for Pittsburgh. Jack, your thoughts.
They're not. Am I biased because of my fandom towards Pitt? Yes.
Yes.
But I don't think that that equates to my reasoning here. The way you phrase this tweet, and I paused there for a moment because I was pulling it up, top five Pittsburgh football games this fall. If you worded it as top five football games of interest in Pittsburgh, then that's fine. And I might even put Penn State and Oregon as number one. Because
wow.
It's no secret that people in Allegheny County in the Pittsburgh area love Penn State. There's, what is it? What was the stat you gave me that the Allegheny County's alumni, Penn State alumni base is the greatest in all the country, pretty
Correct.
Much? Yeah, that's fine. But Penn State football games are not Pittsburgh sporting events. They do not take place in Pittsburgh. In the argument that I had in the back with you about this, and I think it's relevant here, if you call something a Pittsburgh sporting event and you take it literally like I am, like, yeah, they take place in Pittsburgh, West Virginia games are more that fit that bill as Pittsburgh sporting events more than Penn State does because Morgantown is in the Pittsburgh TV market. If you live in Morgantown, you get all three Pittsburgh TV stations. If you live in State College where they play Penn State football games, you're getting WTAJ in Altoona and WJAC in Johnstown. That's that TV market. I understand that Penn State has a giant following in the Pittsburgh area. And that's one of the things that makes college football so damn cool is that these schools and these teams like Penn State and Notre Dame and Alabama and West Virginia, to an extent, because it's the only thing going on, you know, it's the biggest sport in the state of West Virginia. You've got people coming in from hours and hours away and driving hundreds of miles to and from on the day to attend those games week in and week out. That's what makes college football so cool, is that you have these locations where there's not a whole lot going on outside of this big-time elite Division I college football program. It's not a Pittsburgh sporting event. Pittsburgh sporting events are Steelers, our Pirates, our Penguins, and our Pitt football and Pitt basketball, because they're taking place in this city. Just because a lot of people in this area love Penn State and go to Penn State games week in and week out, it doesn't make it a Pittsburgh sporting event. It's a sporting event that people in Pittsburgh care about. And truthfully, I don't mean to put words in the mouth of Penn State fans listening to this. I don't really think that that's an argument that they care about. Like, it's just the whole unrivaled, we are Penn State, blah, 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 blah. And they don't care if it lumps into a Pittsburgh sporting event or not. And there might be people in Philadelphia that think that Penn State football is a Philadelphia sporting event too.
Sure. And I do think West Virginia games are also Pittsburgh sporting events. I think we're getting into semantics here. I understand State College isn't in Pittsburgh, but just as many people in this county care about Penn State games, then there are people that also care about Pitt games. So by your logic and by everybody else's logic, Riverhound games are a much bigger deal around here than Penn State football games because the Riverhounds play here in Pittsburgh. And by that very same logic, if the Steelers are playing a road game in Baltimore, I guess that's not a Pittsburgh sporting event either because
yeah,
it's not
team,
in Pittsburgh.
The team plays in Pittsburgh. They play their home games in Pittsburgh.
Sure, and I'm not saying Penn State is a Pittsburgh team, but their games have so much interest here that they count as a Pittsburgh sporting event because they rack it up the same amount of attention and energy that Penguins games do and Pirates games do but just because the games aren't... I get that the games don't take place here.
If you live in Allegheny County, you're not driving 2.5 hours to go to a Steeler game like you are a Penn State game.
What does that matter, though?
They aren't taking place in Pittsburgh, Dom.
But that's irrelevant.
How?
Where the game takes place doesn't matter.
But that's their home games.
Understood. If there is enough interest in this city in the game, then it counts as a Pittsburgh sporting event, regardless of where the game takes place. People here are watching on their couch. Doesn't matter if the game's in State College or in Paris.
So if the Las Vegas Athletics, with Bethel Park alum Mason Miller and Jack Wilson's kid, they become a World Series contender in 2028, they still probably have a lot of fans in Oakland. Is that an Oakland sporting event?
Yeah, I would say
it's not.
Because there is enough interest garnered that enough people in Oakland care about it that it becomes an Oakland event. Even though it's not in Oakland and the team isn't based in Oakland.
That's even more ridiculous than saying Penn State is a Pittsburgh sporting event because now you're crossing state lines. I can somewhat entertain the argument of Penn State being a Pittsburgh sporting event because it's still in the state and it's in the middle of everything.
So you're telling me if the Pirates moved to Nashville next year and made the World Series, you wouldn't count that game as a Pittsburgh sporting event?
No.
You would be talking about it on TV and on radio for weeks. That's all people here would be talking about. It's
sure.
All people on Twitter would be talking about. It would classify as a Pittsburgh sporting event. 100%. Even though it doesn't take place here, if when the USA is in the World Cup,
that
and they're
isn't
playing a
even
game,
the same thing.
And they're playing a game in France, does it still count as an American sporting event? Yes. Game's not taking place here. It's taking place across the continent. But it still counts as an American sporting event because there is enough interest in the country in that game and in that team. There is enough interest in this county, in Penn State, that even though they play a couple hours away, it still counts. People here are still talking about it.
No.
Silence from you is telling.
Okay.
All right, we'll carry on
here. Yep, I win, you lose. Go ahead, keep going.
4th of July is today, no duh. And Jack, I've had this issue for years that baseball, MLB, doesn't capitalize on the sport and the holiday as well as they should. Now, today, every Major League Baseball team plays, which isn't always the case, but there are no nationally televised games. There's a couple on Apple, there's a couple on MLB Network, but that's nothing. NFL gets this right on Thanksgiving. NBA gets this right on Christmas. College football gets this right on New Year's. How come baseball cannot take advantage of a standalone day where they are really the only sport right now? I know there's tennis going on in WNBA. This could be a day where baseball says, this is our holiday, this is our day, we're going to put our best matchups on TV, and we're going to make this an event that is synonymous with baseball. They don't do that, and it's stunning.
Yeah, this is something that you and I agree on wholeheartedly. Rob Manfred is to blame. Rob Manfred is to blame for a lot of things wrong with Major League Baseball and has been for some time, and that's going to be on full display after the 2026 season when you might have a shortened season due to a lockout. The NFL is able to capitalize on things because their product is better than baseball. Why is football better than baseball? Well, it might just be a more entertaining sport. Yeah, but I think Roger Goodell and the people in the National Football League have done a tremendous, tremendous job on capitalizing and marketing their stars and making it captivating enough to be able to sit down on a holiday and really take ownership of it. Major League Baseball can't do that. Major League Baseball is too busy throwing out stupid, silly ideas like the golden bat rule, which is one of the more dumb proposed rule changes I've heard in a long time. They've got this system of automated balls and strikes that, for all intents and purposes, works. It doesn't delay the length of games and the pace of play nearly at all. Instead, we're sitting here watching games like the Pirates in San Diego a couple of months ago and how that unfolded. But we've got this perfectly fine automatic balls and strike system that's not in play yet. Major League Baseball does so many things the wrong way. The fact that they're not able to capitalize on a holiday like the 4th of July and really take ownership of it and say, hey, we're going to cook up some TV deals, make a triple header out of whatever, on whatever network. They could do that with Ohtani, the stars that they have. I mean, obviously Ohtani is not an American-born player, but he's one of the faces of baseball. Ohtani, Judge, Juan Soto. They've got these guys and these big names that could draw. Paul Skeens is starting to work his way into that conversation as well. And it's not working. Now, the NHL kind of suffers that same fate as well, but I think Gary Bettman has an uphill battle just because a lot of those personalities of their star players, they're just reserved guys, and it's kind of impossible to an extent to market their star players. But baseball, you can do it, and they are still not able to accomplish it. And it's a shame because 4th of July, America's independence, baseball, America's pastime. What are we doing?
It's perfect. It is the perfect combination of sport and holiday, and they don't capitalize on it. A couple more here for you, Jack. This is one I know you'll appreciate. If Joe Starkey was hosting, I don't think I could do this topic. With you, I can. Big announcement this week, although I guess it was a quasi-announcement because it was more of a tease. EA Sports posted a tweet, very cryptic tweet, with a picture of a basketball with the EA logo on it saying, bring back the madness, let's run it back, basically teasing the return of a college basketball video game for the first time since 2009. Listen, if you're going to do it, now is the perfect time. They brought back college football last year to a smashing success. College football coming back again this year. Now is as good a time as any if you were ever going to bring college basketball back. To bring it back, I think if they do, it will also be a smashing success. And I got to be honest, it has me pretty pumped because I think that would be awesome.
Yeah, I'm a big time NCAA video games fan. I spent several nights as a teenager into the wee hours of the morning playing NCAA Football 14. Very excited last summer when College Football 25 came back after an 11-year hiatus. And I think, 2028 is when they're eyeing a return here. That'll be a longer hiatus than college football, EA Sports. That was an 11-year hiatus, or 12 from 14 to 25, or 13 to 24, excuse me. You're looking at an 18, 19-year hiatus because NCAA Basketball 10 with Blake Griffin on the cover, Jeff Capel product Blake Griffin on the cover, that was the last college basketball video game. And I'm very excited as well. That'll be a fun one. That'll be one that I'll probably buy, pre-order, get the 3-day early bundle, whatever it's called these days, and play it and be very excited for it. College Football 26, if you pre-order it, you can get it as early as Monday. And they've revamped that a ton. I don't know how much you've seen of that. Road to Glory, the career mode. You play in high school now. I saw an animation where you have a high school senior night where you carry out like a bed of roses and you're waving to the fans on senior night.
That's so cool.
Hat day. So like it went, once you pick your school there, you pick the hat and you put it on. And the way that they've done like dynasty mode and franchise mode with it, with the NIL and the transfer portal, is pretty cool too. So the sky's the limit for college basketball. And as they become, you know, more innovative with it, I think it'll be a pretty darn good success.
Yeah. Unlike baseball, not capitalizing on the fourth, EA capitalizing on the success and popularity of college sports, I think, is genius. Last one here for you, Jack. 4th of July themed. So I had to do research on this before the show because I'm still kind of up in the air. The Declaration of Independence was adopted July 4th, 1776 by the Second Continental Congress, although it wasn't signed until August. And I thought I read that it actually, they brought it up on July 2nd, but that's neither the here nor there. Here's the point I want to bring to you. Britain losing the American Revolution to the 13 colonies is right up there with Falcons blowing 28-3, right up there with Michigan losing to App State in 07. No. That was a bad loss by Britain. Really, and in hindsight, bad loss, man. You are a powerhouse to an underdog 13 colonies, led, by the way, by a war general in George Washington who had a losing record in war. That is a fact.
They marched around in bright red coats that you could see from hundreds of yards away and played drums into battle.
Yeah,
and
that's badass.
No, it's stupid. And then you had, nobody's going to attack us on Christmas. No way. George Washington said, hold my beer, and won that war by being innovative in strategy.
100%. And I'm happy the 13 colonies won, don't get me wrong. But when you look back on it,
soldiers today wear camouflage so they can blend in.
Okay, but back in the day, nobody was doing that.
Yeah, why?
Because they were Britain. They didn't need to.
They were arrogant and deserved to lose.
They were certainly arrogant. There was no doubt about that. But I mean, come on. How do you lose to 13 colonies? That, by the way, you were controlling at the time. Britain was running them.
Oh, bump, bada, bump, bum. Here we come. Bright red coats. You can see us from a mile away. Adapt. Figure it out. I'm certainly glad they didn't, but what are we doing?
It's a bad loss. It's a bad loss. Hate to say it.
No, the 28-3 is worse.
I don't know about that. People forget George Washington. He's like the head coach that has a 6-11 record. He lost in a lot of wars, but then won the Super Bowl in the American Revolution.
That's all that matters.
That's all that matters. And then they beat us in the War of 1812.
Yeah.
But that wasn't important. We won the big game.
Yeah, big time. I thought of something to ask you, and now I forget.
I'm sorry.
It's bad radio. I apologize.
I'll take the blame on that one.
Oh, here it is. We talk about like movies, sports movies, movies for moments. When it comes to the 4th of July, is the scene in the Sandlot playing under the lights and the fireworks like the most iconic, like American-themed 4th of July scene from any movie ever? It might be a very specific topic and like narrow with options, but nothing to me captures like what the 4th of July means to people than that minute plus scene from the Sandlot.
Yeah, that has to take the cake. I'm trying to even think. I mean, Field of Dreams didn't take place around the 4th. I know that has the nostalgic baseball catching in the backyard feel. So I guess that's the only competitor. Yeah, that Sandlot scene is, and it's only like, 2 minutes or whatever? Iconic.
Yeah.
Absolutely iconic.
Ray Charles' rendition of America the Beautiful.
We had a conversation, and not to completely go off the rails here and, you know, throw the show off.
That's fine.
I produced...
That might make some texters upset, but we'll live with it.
Yeah, the one guy who thinks we're doing softball topics should be thrilled. I was producing for Mackie a couple weeks ago, and we got into a big conversation, because I said, football movies are far and away the best sport movie genre, far and away. And Jason and genuinely everybody else said it's baseball. And I was stunned.
Give me your top three football movies right now.
Remember the Titans, Friday Night Lights, The Blind Side.
I'd have to think about it, but if that's what you're going with, I will take The Sandlot, Field of Dreams, and Bull Durham, and each one of those movies is better than the three you mentioned.
Yes, but I have a bench. You do not have a bench in baseball, or at least not one that's, you know, like football. I mean, we could do the rest of the show on this. Football has an unbelievable lineup of movies. Baseball is kind of top heavy, to be honest. And I think basketball, their two best movies are better than all of baseball's movies combined, with Coach Carter and Hoosiers.
Coach Carter, I mean, you got a little bit of hate for that one, but Coach Carter is a good movie. It's not up there, but I mean, like, to suggest that baseball doesn't have much of a bench, I disagree. The Natural, Robert Redford, really good one. Old one, if you haven't seen it. Major League, iconic. Mr. 3000 with Bernie Mac, another good one. Mr. Baseball, Tom Selleck, another good one. Kind of a chick flick, but I really like it. For the Love of the Game with Kevin Costner. Rookie of the Year, Henry Rowan Gardner. Bad News Bears. Fever Pitch. I like that one, especially if you're a Red Sox fan. I'm sure you like it. John Goodman playing the Babe. All right. So there's depth there. There's more depth than you're giving credit for.
But then when you start comparing it to the three that I gave you for football, and then Any Given Sunday, Varsity Blues, Rudy, Longest Yard, Waterboy, Draft Day, Jerry Maguire.
Jerry Maguire is one of my favorite movies of all time.
Yeah.
So that,
it gets overshadowed by all the other football movies.
That's a serious, serious debate. I mean, there's some other really underrated ones in there, too. Did you say Radio?
Radio
is a really good one. The Replacements.
Yep.
Necessary Roughness.
Yep. Brian's Song.
Yeah.
I think I was more so surprised that it was so heavily favored for baseball and nobody was giving football love, to the point where I'm like, okay, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm just way off here, because it was a blowout.
Yeah, and then we just had a text come in, and we'll get to the break because we got to run to what's the top of the hour for Bob Walk here. And it's a shame that there aren't more of them, but you want to talk about top heavy is golf movies.
Yeah.
Caddyshack and Tin Cup.
And
The Greatest Game Ever Played with Shia LaBeouf and Francis We Met's really good too, but there are just aren't that many golf movies.
Happy Gilmore.
Yeah, I'd put that more of a I mean, it's just a comedy about golf.
Yeah, it's also kind of a hockey movie, but
Happy
that's
Gilmore 2 coming out in a couple of weeks.
I am so excited.
I am too. I just hope it's not bad.
This is the summer of movies. We have Jurassic World coming out that I'm seeing in a couple of days. The F1 movie with Brad Pitt that I saw this week, which is actually a lot better than I expected. And now Happy Gilmore. It's an unbelievable summer when it comes to cinema. Movie theaters are back, baby. And it's exciting. I haven't been to the movies this much in a single stretch of 5 weeks, Jack, in years. Years. And it's exciting.
I agree. I get up for, especially like highly anticipated ones. Seeing Avengers Endgame in the theaters was one of like the single greatest moments of my life. And I'm not even kidding. It was so epic.
Yeah.
It was just absolute madness. Packed theater, people like throwing stuff, cheering. It was insane.
We went to, I think it was like a 10 o'clock at night showing of it, and the movie's, what, 2.5-3 hours or whatever. And that was 2019. Unbelievable experience.
Yeah.
That's when, you know, going to the theater is at its peak when it comes to entertainment. And watching at home, it doesn't match that.
Good stuff, Dom. Appreciate you. 50-minute mark on the Fan, brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19, Peters Township. The hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. And Fan Weather brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. High of 85 today, low of 64. I mentioned golf movies, couple of texters. Thanks for chiming in. Bagger Vance, another really good one. Somebody chiming in, Youngblood. You ever see that one? Patrick Swayze.
No. I love Patrick Swayze.
Young Rob Lowe hockey movie. And then Slapshot's obviously the iconic hockey movie.
Miracle. Hockey has a pretty good lineup.
Yeah, it does.
Boxing has a good lineup, although it's really just Rocky and Creed, but
I'm going to let you rethink that one.
What am I missing here?
The best boxing movie of all time.
Yeah, it's the 4th of July, Jack. My mind's not thinking straight. You got to tell me, for God's sake.
All the Right Move. Or Johnny Robinson just said All the Right Moves. That's an underrated football movie. Raging Bull?
Oh. Mm.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Oh, it doesn't stack up to Rocky and Creed, though, for God's sake. Come on, now.
You need to educate yourself.
You think. You're telling me right now, Raging Bull.
It's like widely regarded as one of the best movies ever, period.
Is it as iconic as Rocky?
Yes.
No.
Oh, Dom, you're not making many friends today.
Jack, Rocky, it's an American institute. Now, listen, Raging Bull is an epic movie. I'm not doubting that. And I haven't seen that in a few years. Maybe I should rewatch it. But I don't blame myself for not thinking of it immediately over Rocky and Creed, for God's sake.
Okay. All right. Well, we got to run to... We have to run to Bob Walk, Million Dollar Baby, another one. Bob Walk at the top of the hour, and then we can go off the rails after Bob Walk joins us to talk some Buccos. And we have to get into the Buccos as well, 412-928-9370. It's the Pomp and Joe Show without Pomp or Joe. Jack Hillgrove on 93.7 The Fan.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
MLB.TV is home to baseball's biggest stars. Watch every out-of-market game, live or on demand.
He got it! Woo! This is unbelievable!
Plus, you'll get 24/7 access to MLB Network. Stream every big pitch.
He struck him out!
Every home run.
Gone!
Everything baseball. All season long on MLB.TV. Start a free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.